Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Mark Grody.
TJ Edwards on Dennis Allen having the defense do up-downs before the full team drills. Good old-fashioned up-down.
It took me back to, like, 7th, 8th grade a little bit, you know? Like, you're going a little bit.
Do you think the stuff like that actually worked?
No.
What did you say?
I said you need a water break. You need a water break. Water is for cowards. Water makes you weak. Water is for washing blood off that uniform, and you don't get no blood on my uniform. Boy, you must be outside your mind.
We are going to do up downs until blue is no longer tired and thirsty.
I understand it for sure.
I just want you to hear what Dennis Allen said.
You have to pay the toll. You have to pay the price. It's a privilege to be on this defense.
I can imagine that when we get to joint practices and guys are dealing with that type of stuff, there's going to be some guys looking at each other like, really? We're doing this BS again?
Yeah, so up downs in baseball is like when Brad Keller throws an inning, goes, sits down on the bench, and then comes back and throws again. So that's what I'm thinking of.
No,
but it's
that,
a very, very different animal.
Yeah, you're jogging in place and then hitting the deck, and it is
fine.
You know, I was just thinking, like, because only the defense had to do this today. I was thinking, where was Tyson Bagent? Because I could totally see him be like, bro, up downs, man.
I was too busy grinding my absolute face off.
Right, he did like 7,000 burpees. He's the burpee king, right?
1 mile burpee broad jump, hour and 7 minutes. Let's go.
You're not buying any of that stuff?
No, I'm not. And the reason why I'm not is because usually that's also kind of used as a punishment. So seeing it used as a warm-up is a little bizarre.
Pick him up and set him down, Pyle. Were you born a fat, slimy scumbag, Private Pyle? Or did you have to work on it? The war will be over by the time we get up there, morning, Private Pyle. Move it!
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We have got you here until 6 o'clock. There is a lot of stuff for us to get done before the day is over. We are happy that you are here. Everyone's here. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Oh, man. It's nice to be in a studio. It's a real good place for a radio show, I was once told.
That's where all radio shows should be. But when they're serving you delicious meatballs.
Now that's a spicy meatball.
What else was there?
Oh, there's all kinds of past
apps
appetizers.
Over at Wildfire.
There's all kinds of past appetizers that were happening. And then... But I couldn't eat them. Lawrence, I had to concentrate on hot Michael Bush conversation. He was a good kid, man. I enjoyed getting to know him a lot.
Did you stick around and have dinner?
I did, yeah. We stuck around and had dinner after. Had a halibut just for, you know.
Don't do it.
But macadamia encrusted with asparagus.
Wow.
And all gratin potatoes. Had that for leftovers today. I chose not to put fish in the microwave at work, which I think was a nice... gesture.
You can't be the guy that's out here talking about cleaning up the microwave and then drop a bomb in the microwave.
Tanny had a really good idea that all microwaves, especially the ones at work, ought to have a button that says fish. Like, and just like, or you could just mention that to your coworkers, like, hey, which button is the salmon button here on the microwave, which alerts them to that they should probably leave the room at that point.
For 2 days.
Yeah. For a couple of days.
They should leave the room until then. Here's what we got. Go ahead.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Michael Bush. And you had said yesterday, speaking of stuff, like, so I wrote down some of the stuff that he told me, because sometimes those Q&As and like that, like hour off the air can just fly by. But he said some very interesting stuff about that team and some specific players.
So all right, cool.
We'll give that to you later on.
We are going to hear Speaks talk about that around, I don't know, what? When are we doing that? Like 4?
5:25?
That's what we're doing that?
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. We are going to talk with Matt Walsh. He's going to join us at 3 o'clock. That should be a lot of fun. The guys over at the Hogan Johns podcast, namely Hogan Johns, did a great job interviewing Ryan Pohl, so we'll share some of that with you. Jason Leisure is going to join us at 4 o'clock. Categories, it's a staple on Thursdays. 4:25, we got it going. And Groats has got a Bears hit one word for us at 5. Okay, Spiegs, you've been telling the Spiegel and Holmes listener for a while that you want Sandy Alcantara, even though the numbers haven't looked great, you've been like, don't worry about those. Look at the stuff. Look at the resume and the stuff. That should put you over the top in wanting Alcantara. I didn't think it was that controversial of a take by you that you would want one of the most talented pitchers in baseball to mm-hmm. be traded to the Cubs. But apparently you were getting some pushback, sir.
Got a lot of pushback today, and it led to the kind of conversation that's actually really instructive and interesting when it comes to the deadline, because there's no perfect option out there. This is not the thing where, like, there's a real, legit, clear, bat-missing, front end of the rotation, 8, 9, 10 strikeouts every time kind of ace to go and put out there and dominate. And the best pitcher that's out there right now, to me, is Alcantara if he's going to be what he has been and what he was yesterday. And that's what he hasn't been for most of the year. But anyway, there's no perfect option. Mitch Keller in Pittsburgh?
Dylan Cease?
Dylan Cease is very interesting, but he's been very up and down this year. And he's healthy.
Still second most strikeouts in Major League Baseball, though.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting. Padres might trade for Alcantara and trade away Dylan Cease on the same deadline.
That would be interesting.
I know.
And so on brand for
so
them.
So I really like Alcantara because he's going to turn back into himself, and I think he just did. I think that happened.
In his last start against Dylan Cease.
Yeah, he went 7 innings and struck out 4, didn't walk anybody, and he got 9 ground balls, 2 inning-ending double plays, and he's always been a ground ball guy. But I pointed out today, like, that's that front-of-the-rotation guy, and a lot of people are like, he doesn't miss enough bats. And they're right. Like, at his best, he throws really hard with really good movement and keeps the ball down, but makes the defense play. But he goes deep into games because of some of that. So is that good enough to add at the top of your rotation when the results haven't been there until now? And I still say yes, but I understand the trepidation of giving away Owen Casey to get it done.
That's what I don't want the Cubs to do.
That's the trepidation. That's trepidation. That's where you end up. Is I'm going to give away that guy to get it done? I say yes because Alcantara has another 2 years under contract. So you're not just doing it for now. You're doing it for the next 2 years.
Okay. Something that we don't talk about when it comes to the Cubs over this stretch is Tommy Hotovy. I don't think I've ever asked you this. How do you feel about Tommy Hotovy?
I think their pitching infrastructure has been really, really good.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good, and I mean, not that I don't want to take anything away from Matthew Boyd, but one, he's healthy, and two, they saw something that they felt like their pitching apparatus could do well with, and they have with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to figure out, if there is more to Alcantara to get back to himself, are you confident that Hotovy can help him get to it?
Or
Hotovy plus the pitching infrastructure of the Cubs?
I am, and that's what you're thinking as an org, is that you can help do a little something. But everybody that I've talked to in Miami and around the league who's watched him has been like, he's getting there. He's getting there. And yesterday was enough for me to see that he is there. Here's the thing. People texting in, I don't think the Nationals are going to trade Mackenzie Gore. Of course I'd want him. I don't think the Twins are going to trade Joe Ryan. Of course I'd want him. Dylan Cease as a rental? Maybe that's where you do end up.
And you don't have to give away Owen Casey to get Dylan Cease.
So maybe they'll end up with a rental like Cease or Merrill Kelly or even Gallen because they don't want to give away the farm. Maybe that's where they'll end up.
27? Like, in a world, could the Cubs theoretically trade for Dylan Cease and then make him part of their pitching plans going forward?
They could conceivably do that. They could conceivably do that, but you'd have to pay Dylan Cease at this year's premium offseason prices. So if you're going to sign Tucker, I don't know that you'll do both of those things.
29.
That's the appetizing nature of Alcantara to me, is you get him for another couple of years. I just think that dude is going to be somebody's ace in a pennant race by his next start, like literally in the next 3 days. And I hope it's the Cubs, but there's a big time, you know, a push-pull here as the deadline approaches, and maybe the whole league is frozen like the manager was referring to.
It's hard to it's hard to really look at the way that the trade deadline is coming up and go, well, we don't know what would have happened if you would have made the trade earlier. But it is interesting that Craig would say those things about kind of where things stand right now.
Honestly, it feels like the whole industry is not close on anything.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Do you wonder why that always, you know, it seems like you always wait to the last minute and then...
It's not wait to the last minute. It's just a deadline is... That's why there's a deadline. And the deadline, and, you know, that's what creates the action, the deadline. I think that's pretty normal.
How many names are out there that haven't been picked up by the media that you see?
I don't know.
You and Jen don't talk about
four.
That's Craig Counsell and Bruce Levine giving each other the business. Bruce was on today and brought up a trade target that is kind of an unexpected name. He brought this up today.
I think it's the one thing that you look at with the Cubs right now. I think the offense is going to be okay. The way that Shaw's coming around right now, I don't think there's the direct need to give up the farm system for Suarez. So he's played exceptionally well on defense, and his, you know, his offense has really picked up since the All-Star game. So with that in mind, more pitching, you know, they talked to Tampa Bay, ironically, about the guy that got beat up by the White Sox yesterday, Taj Bradley, who was out of that game starting against the White Sox yesterday after 1 2/3 innings. Couldn't stay in there, pitch count high, they started to wallop him. So that they have a reliever named Pete Fairbanks, who's a good veteran reliever. They've talked about, look, as Counsell said
yesterday.
Hold on,
Taj Bradley got demoted. The Cubs are talking to the Rays about Taj Bradley?
Well, look at his starts before yesterday's game. Okay.
He got demoted.
I understand.
Why would you trade for a Triple-A pitcher to put you over the top?
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't give him Owen Casey.
I'm just saying they've talked to a lot of teams. I'm not saying there's any.
Okay.
There wasn't any trade.
Just
eminent.
Stop me there, Bruce. I'm sorry. Well, just like I want to hear you talk about Dylan Cease, not Taj Bradley.
Oh, I was trying to explain until you interrupted me.
Dave. Oh, I'm sorry. So,
Bruce is just giving it to everybody. Everybody's giving it back to Bruce.
Hey. Don't poke the bear.
Well, yeah. Grady Jarrett says everybody can get it.
I mean, it is a. Honestly, like the Taj Bradley thing, even though there's not a real resume, it kind of speaks to your point about Alcantara. Like, this is a guy who's a real deal prospect. And quite honestly, like his year hasn't been terrible. He's with a 4.5 ERA.
So like, ooh, Taj Bradley?
Yeah, like he hasn't been terrible.
No.
They want to figure out his pitch mix. Like, that's the issue here.
It's a surprise demotion, and he still very, very well may get traded and be used by somebody. But like,
or could get fixed and help the Rays win a World Series.
Look, I'm calling for the Alcantara thing, and I want that Alcantara thing, but it might be too rich for what the Cubs want to do. With the looming potential work stoppage and maybe missing a year in full in 27, they might want to hold on to the cheap guys on the farm and just, you know, and not go for somebody who's got multiple years under contract and all of that. Might want to keep things simple and just go for the very best rental arm that they can get. I like the idea of aiming high, and I think your best option of aiming high is banking on Alcantara to return to being himself. I think it's going to happen. I think it already started to happen.
If you love Matt Walsh from Veep or from The Hangover or, you know, all of the movies that he's done or in television shows that he's done, he's going to join us at 3 o'clock because he also loves to talk about the Bears. We're going to talk about the Bears and Ben's vision. What happened yesterday with the first unit? And is there already some homina going on up at Hallis Hall? We'll explain next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on The Score.
No, I think that's on par for Ben. If you're not doing it right, he's going to get you out, and he's not going to just see that stuff continue. So it's just a lesson to us that, you know, you got to be on the detail.
Right. The players who were asked about the first team coming off the field yesterday made it pretty clear and plain that the first unit didn't get something right a couple of times, and Ben moved on to the second unit
because
they were wasting time.
And we celebrated that. I remember enjoying that yesterday, being like, hell yeah, that's our coach. That's right. Coach everybody hard. It's okay. Everybody can handle it. They're grown men.
Today, he spoke on that.
Did you not like the way that was perceived out there?
No, I'm good. Like, it is what it is. You know, our guys, we got to end up executing, getting in and out of the huddle a certain way, and it wasn't that way, and so we'll be better today.
And what it was, just getting in and out.
Yeah,
Is that Caleb, or is that everybody?
It's everybody. We're learning, we're growing. You know, there were some things from the springtime expected to carry over that was probably one we just don't have any tolerance for anymore. We got too far to go.
Do you find that they're very receptive in those moments, too?
Yeah. They know it's not good enough, so it's just keep the train moving.
Okay, so yeah, he was not happy with the way that looked yesterday.
Yeah. So he's not denying it. He's not backtracking about it. I think he's wanting to normalize it.
A great practice yesterday. Uh-oh. Good start. Guys were excited. Effort was there. Intensity was there. It was fun to watch them fly around. I know some people enjoyed me throwing the first team out of practice. Not the case.
Okay. I never just did things just to do them. Come on. I mean, what am I going to do? Just all of a sudden just jump up and grind my feet on somebody's couch like it's you know, something to do. Come on, I got no more sense than that. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on Eddie's couch.
Perfect use of Rick James.
So he wouldn't do that except for the time that he totally did that.
Except for when he did it. Don't be trying to air quote us, Ben. You didn't throw them out of practice, but you threw them out of the drill.
I'm Ben Johnson, bitch.
Bleep yo couch, Caleb. Bleep yo. You can buy another one.
Is that where we're headed here? Could be. It is. It's Ben's world, man.
It is, but, you know.
What?
Moments later, then you just say, yeah, it's. And what I think is interesting, Tanny, can you load up the first cut again? Because there's a part of it that I think is interesting. If you listen inside of it, he's also upset because, hey, we talked about this. Like the stuff in the OTAs and in the mini camps, he is not happy that this part of it has not been fixed.
Did you not like the way that was perceived out there?
No, I'm good. Like it is what it is. You know, our guys, we got to end up executing, getting in and out of the huddle a certain way, and it wasn't that way, and so we'll be better today.
And what it was, just getting in and out.
Yeah,
Is that Caleb, or is that everybody?
It's everybody. We're learning, we're growing. You know, there were some things from the springtime expected to carry over that was probably one we just don't have any tolerance for anymore. We got too far to go.
You've cut it
right there.
That's awesome. That's a good catch by you. That's what he's pissed at.
He's very angry about that.
He's pissed. We talked about this in the spring, and then I sent you all home to do your homework, and so we can just pick up where we left off.
And in our first practice.
Yeah, right away you're doing that. Come on.
And then you do it again.
Yeah.
And so you're messing up the timing of practice. I got to bring the twos out there so they can get their reps, so we can get on to the next station.
Yeah, man.
All that stuff.
Boy, it's fun. It's fun to analyze leadership. We do this a lot. Don't we in this job and as fans kind of think about it, and we got so exhausted and frustrated with the whole Eberflus thing because he was obviously so bad at the leadership part. This is a guy who's coaching hard and coaching to a standard, who's now trying to just kind of normalize and contextualize it a little bit. If anything, he's pulling back just a hair just to make sure, you know, it's just the way we do things. You don't have to make a big deal of it. It's just, I got expectations and they're going to meet them or they're not.
But it is an issue of leadership and what is effective leadership morphs and change from year to year, from sport to sport. And seeing coaches try to navigate that is really interesting to me. And seeing how he's going to try and navigate this too, because he might have in his mind, like, of course this shouldn't be happening, but this is different now. You're the head coach now. And when you're running drills as an offensive coordinator, sure. Like those are things that you're gonna address with your side of the ball, and now you have to take into account how it impacts everyone on your team when one part of the team messes up, and how do you, as a coach, manage that?
There's gonna be more homework. There's gonna be homework all here during camp. There's gonna be homework every game week, and he wants to know that if he sends you home with something, you come in the next day and it is learned.
Yeah, but he might also have to be like, okay, I did the thing of.
I'm just going to keep piling this stuff on you guys until you guys get it right.
Well, he's learning the limits of what they can do.
And he might have to be like, perhaps I need a different approach on certain things to be able to get through the importance of not getting that part wrong, because it's very important to what it is that we want to do offensively.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and it's fun to listen to and parse. Like, the main item is so abundantly clear, his show. His show, his thing, as it ought to be. And Ryan Poles said, I'll be around, guys. And he did, as you mentioned, another podcast today with Hogan Johns, and we'll play you some of that later. So Poles is around.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good that he's that, like, go around and you know, answer the questions, talk to people, give them some context one-on-one. But every time so far Poles is being asked about something, he's like, oh, yeah, Ben's in charge of that. Have you guys seen Ben? He's the one out there being in charge of that.
Obviously, Lurie's around.
Ryan Poles is around.
I don't know if Ryan's in charge of that. Is he?
No, when I think of Bears that are around, like Bears that showed up every training camp looking for a job.
Harvey Unger.
That's the one, Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's why we're a team, baby.
Harvey Unger. That is.
Hey, look at that. We're in Bourbonnais. Where's Harvey been all year? It's been right here. Waiting
for that opportunity.
Well,
what was he, shirt number 45? Oh, is that
good
the
call.
Number on 40, Harvey Unger?
45, I do believe. Yep, he gets cut on August 17th.
And re-signed on September 3rd.
And then cut on September 10th.
And then reassigned to the practice squad. And you're like, and then you look up and you go, did he play at all?
No, but he kept paying rent in Bourbonnais just to be safe. I'm going to keep my place in Bourbonnais.
Hey, why not?
That's like the musical joke about the trombone player, because the trombone. Apologies to any trombone players out there, but they're legendary for not getting a lot of gigs. So the joke is that the trombone player gets hired for the New Year's gig, and he's playing on New Year's, and it goes really well. At the end of the night, the club owner's like, man, you guys are great. Can I hire you guys again next year? And everybody's like, absolutely. And the trombone player says, you mind if I leave my horn here?
Because I'm not going to need it.
Exactly.
I'm not going to need it at all.
So the trombone players are the Harvey Unger of the brass section.
Look, I love it. If you're listening on 670 AM right now, that's great. But clearly there's a thunderstorm in the area that just kind of rolled in on us.
Sky looks dark out there.
It sure does. So if you want to switch over to 104.3 HD2, that's a nice strong signal that you can use. Or if you want to listen on the Odyssey app, or if you want to be inside the Twitch mob, those might be cleaner audio feeds for you. Whatever way you want to consume Spiegel and Holmes, we're fine. But we just want to give you a couple of pro tips there with this weather that's rolling in.
The Bear Down podcast is something that I and many others have listened to back in the day quite a bit. A lot of like displaced Chicagoland Bear fans who were in Los Angeles for the most part in the comedy business, the movie business, the TV business. And that thing was really funny. And they are reuniting tonight for the 10th anniversary, or longer, I think, than that. But Matt Walsh, who you know from all sorts of movies, is among those people, and he's going to be on this show next.
That's coming up on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.